Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 19, King Yayati Achieves Liberation. So there's a chapter introduction. I'll read that, and then I'll chant the Sanskrit for the text one and read the translation. There's no purport, and we'll chant text two together. Okay. So King Yayati achieves liberation. This 19th chapter describes how Maharaj Yayati achieved liberation after he renounced the figurative... The 19th chapter describes how Maharaj Yayati achieved liberation after he recounted the figurative story of the he-goat and the she-goat. After many, many years of sexual relationships and enjoyment in the material world, King Yayati finally became disgusted with such materialistic happiness. When satiated with material enjoyment, he devised the story of a he-goat and a she-goat corresponding to his own life and narrated the story before his beloved Devayani. This story is as follows. Once upon a time, while a goat was searching in a forest for different types of vegetables to eat, by chance he came to a well in which he saw a she-goat. I guess this was an attempt on his part to preach to her. I mean, I doubt he was trying to, like, you know, be humorous or anything. So this is, anyway, for that purpose. It goes on. He became attracted to this she-goat and somehow or other delivered her from the well. And thus they were united. One day thereafter, when the she-goat saw the he-goat enjoying sex with another she-goat, she became angry, abandoned the he-goat, and returned to her brahmana owner, to whom she described her husband's behavior. The brahmin became very angry and cursed the he-goat to lose his sexual power. Thereupon, the he-goat begged the brahmin's pardon and was given back the power for sex. Then the he-goat enjoyed sex with the she-goat for many years, but still he was not satisfied. If one is lusty and greedy, even the total stock of gold in this world cannot satisfy one's lusty desires. These desires are like a fire. One may pour clarified butter on a blazing fire, but one cannot expect the fire to be extinguished. To extinguish such a fire, one must adopt a different process. The Shastra therefore advises that by intelligence one renounce the life of enjoyment. Without great endeavor, those with a poor fund of knowledge cannot give up sense enjoyment, especially in relation to sex, because a beautiful woman bewilders even the most learned man. King Yayati, however, renounced worldly life and divided his property among his sons. He personally adopted the life of a mendicant or a sannyasi, giving up all attraction to material enjoyment, and engaged himself fully in devotional service to the Lord. Thus he attained perfection. Later, when his beloved wife Devayani was freed from her mistaken way of life, she also engaged herself in devotional service of the Lord. Text 1. Shri Suku Vacha. Sa itam macharam kamam straino pranavam atmana budva priyaya nirvino gatam etam agayata. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, O Maharaj Prakrit, Yati was very much attached to woman. In due course of time, however, when disgusted with sexual enjoyment and its bad effects, he renounced this way of life and narrated the following story to his beloved wife. We'll chant this one together. Shrinu Bhargavyamum Katam. Shrinu Bhargavyamum Katam. Madvitha Charitam Bhuvi. Madvitha Charitam Bhuvi. Dira Yashyanun Sochanti. Dira yasyanu sochanti. Vane gramma nivasina. Vane gramma nivasina. Srinu bhargavyamum gatam. Madvicharat madvidhacharitam bhuvi. Dira yasyanu sochanti. Bane gramma nivasina. Vaishnavis. Okay, Srinu, please hear. Bhargavi, O daughter of Sukracharya, Amum, this, Gatam, history, Matbida, exactly resembling my behavior, Acharitam, behavior, Bhuvi, within this world, Dira, those who are sober and intelligent. Yasya, of whom? Anusochanti, lament very much. Vane, in the forest. Grama nivasina, very much attached to materialistic enjoyment. Translation. My dearly beloved wife, daughter of Sukracharya, in this world there was someone exactly like me. Please listen as I narrate the history of his life. By hearing about the life of such a householder, those who have retired from householder life always lament. Purport. Persons who live in the village or town are called grama nivasi, and those who live in the forest are called vanavasi or vanaprastha. The vanaprasthas who have retired from family life generally lament about their past family life because it engaged them in trying to fulfill lusty desires. Prahlad Maharaj said that one should retire from family life as soon as possible, and he described family life as the darkest well, hitvatma patam griham andakupam. If one continuously or permanently concentrates on living with his family, he should be understood to be killing himself. In the Vedic civilization, therefore, it is recommended that one retire from family life at the end of his 50th year and go to the vana, forest. When he becomes expert or accustomed to forest life or retired life as a vanaprastha, he should accept sannyas. Vanam gato yad darim asrayeta. Sannyas means accepting unalloyed engagement in the service of the Lord. Vedic civilization, therefore, recommends four different stages of life, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. One should be very much ashamed of remaining a householder and not promoting oneself to the two higher stages, namely vanaprastha and sannyas. Om Agnate Maranda Shajananjana Shalakaya Chakshuna Militam Yena Tasme Shri Gurvena Maha Sri Chaitanya Manobastam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam. So, Prabhupada's speaking here in this purport. I think it's really addressing primarily people who are materialist householders, and it's also describing the traditional Vedic system of the four ashrams. You know, specifically it's mentioning Grihastha ashram, Vanaprastha ashram, Sannyasa ashram, and how one should progress through those. And it's particularly important for somebody who's a materialistic household. The Prabhupada makes the point, somebody, if one continuously and permanently concentrates on living with his family, it should be understood, he should be understood to be killing himself. So, you know, it's in traditional Vedic culture, people were expected to do this. You know, they're in the Grihastha ashram and they're concentrating on family life, but then they should progress on to the Vanaprastha ashram, the Sannyasa ashram. But anyway, the point is, as it applies to us, is this. That I think the point that's being made here, the point that Prabhupada's trying to emphasize, is that, says here, he goes, sannyas means accepting unalloyed engagement in the service of the Lord. That's the important point. That's the important point. It's been mentioned elsewhere. I mean, I can't remember I know it's in the fourth canto. Virabhu Prabhu gave a class, and he quoted something from the fourth canto where Prabhupada was saying that as far as devotees go, they can, they want to remain in household of life, it's okay, but this is the important point. The important point is to accept unalloyed engagement in the service of the Lord. If one wants to formally enter into these other ashrams, actually, from best of my knowledge, we don't formally to this date have a formal Vanaprastha ashram. Of course, there is a formal Sannyasa ashram. That's well and good. But if one is, for some reason, unable to, doesn't want to, I think the more important thing is that one is accepting unalloyed engagement in the devotional service. And Prabhupada goes on to say, one should be very much ashamed of remaining a householder and not promoting oneself to the two higher stages, namely vanaprastha and sannyas. So, once again, applying that to us, I think what we should be very much ashamed of is if we're just, you know, we're members of the Krishna consciousness movement, but we're just kind of sitting around and we're not really doing anything. We're not like really, you know, coming out of our comfort zone and doing something that we know we should be doing to try to spread the movement, you know, in whatever way we're capable of doing it. Everybody's got different talents and abilities, different capacities, but that's what somebody should be ashamed of. You know, when you're just staying in the comfort zone and you're not coming out to do what you know you should be doing to try to help spread the movement. And so that's what we really want to avoid. And it's easier said than done. I mean, we all had that experience. You know, you feel like I don't want to do this or I can't do this, but we should always remember that Krishna will help. You know, Krishna will help. It's, to spread the Krishna conscious movement is like a monumental task, but if we just try a little bit, it's amazing sometimes the kind of help we get from Krishna. Just like yesterday, for instance, Sunday, there's no schools to do on Sunday. So Chai Kush or somebody, Sachi Dula was telling us about something that was happening at the Rose Bowl. So I had no idea what it was, but I said, okay, let's show. So we drive up there and it works out as some huge swap meet that they have once a month. And so we just drove up to the place and I said, well, wait, we don't even know what we're doing. How are we going to do this? We don't even have a clue how we're going to go about this whole thing. So as we're coming in, there was general parking. And I said, well, if we park all the way out here, how are we going to get the stuff in? So I just kept going. And I actually pulled right up to some security guard of some kind, you know, somebody in a uniform. And I said, hey, we have to unload some stuff. Where do we go? And they said, oh, loading? Oh, you know, I don't know if they heard me correctly. They said, loading? We'll go to Lot K. I said, well, that's auspicious K for Krishna. Okay, we'll go to Lot K. So we drive to Lot K, and I said, we got to, unload some. They told us to come here to Lot K. I said, what are you doing? I said, well, loading, unloading. And I said, okay, we'll just go in there. And we pulled in. And then, a policeman came over, and then this other guy came over that worked there. And I said, what's going on? We have some stuff we have to unload. What are you, vendors? I said, well, yeah, basically, I guess we're vendors. And so then he goes, this is for picking up stuff. You know, this is that you bought. You're in the wrong place. I said, well, where's the right place? He said, well, you just park it over there. So we got a parking space. They parked us. And then, okay, so that's something. Then the next thing is, okay, well, now what do we do, you know? So Jai Kush and I, we try to talk it over a little bit. I said, on the way out, he was retelling me these stories. He just finished reading in Mukunda Maharaj's book, Miracle on Second Avenue, where it was talking about how, devotees had to be very daring and active in the service of the Lord. And he was retelling me some of these stories about how, these early devotees, Mukunda Maharaj and Shyamasundar and Gurudas and Yamuna, were very daring and active in order to start Krishna consciousness in London. So, we were just hearing. We were just talking about that, being daring and active. So anyway, so we figured out, well, let's just go for it. Let's just try to set up and try it. We'll, see what happens. So I walked up to this lady, police lady. She was, sitting kind of like by the road. I said, we're supposed to be where the most pedestrian traffic is. Where would that be? And she goes, I'm not exactly sure because, we just come here for the event. I don't really know the venue that well, but that entrance and exit over there is pretty busy, which is, kind of the one that was close to where we parked. I said, okay. So I went back and told Jai Kush. I said, so what do you think? He said, well, let's just go for it. And so I took the table and just kind of went over there, and he's packing up all the books. And I just plunked the table down right in front of the entrance and the exit. And, put the cloth on and put the sign, free meditation books. And he comes, rolling along with the books. And we didn't look at anybody. We just started setting it up on the table there. And we lasted about, 3 or 4 minutes, 5 minutes maybe. And sure enough, some people came over, two ladies who were working at the entrance and exit, taking tickets and stamping people's hands as they go out so they can get back in, and some guy. And they said, so who told you guys to be here? And I said, well, Emil Becker. And he said, oh, yeah. And he said, huh? That's Swasa's karma name. And he says, oh, okay. And he walked away a few feet, and he got on his phone or his walkie-talkie. And he said, I don't know what he said. I couldn't hear him, But he said something on the walkie-talkie, and he comes and says, well, you guys don't have to be out here. We can get you inside. So, oh, okay. And the amazing, so... All right, so I couldn't believe it, but I said, okay. So we just packed everything up, and we just walked right through the entrance. And the girls was at the gate. They were saying, "What's going? Where?" I said, "Where's that guy we were talking to?" They didn't know. And fortunately, we saw him off in the distance. He was coming back for us. He said, "Yeah, you could." He said, "You could set up here." There was this bridge, and all the people who were in there that swapped me had to walk over one of these two bridges to get from one side to the other. So I said, "Well, where's the most pedestrian traffic?" He said, "Take your pick. They're both about the same." So we just picked the spot, and we plunked the table down there, and we had a perfect spot. And the amazing thing was that Jai Kush rang the day before to talk to the people who run the thing, and they charged $200 for a booth. So we didn't know what we were doing. We just went there depending upon, trying to be daring and active and depending upon Krishna. And not only we got free parking and free admission, but we got a free booth, for nothing. And then we were there and we met all sorts of nice people, I mean, it wasn't like the hugest day Lakshmi-wise, but... you can't measure everything in terms of that. I mean, it's met a lot of nice people, a lot of people who are very sincerely interested and very glad to meet us out there, thanking us profusely. This happens on a regular basis, by the way. We're doing this table up, and we get people thanking us profusely, thanking us for being out there, so happy to get the books. Thank you guys for doing this. We get, you know, like a half a dozen of those every day. Thank you guys for being out here. It's so wonderful that you're out here. Hey, you know, these books look really awesome. That type of response. And, you know, and that's from people of all ages. Because, you know, at a swap meet, there's people, you know, people walking around that are 80, 90 years old, and there's people walking around that are teenagers. So it's, you know, right across the board. So the big thing is, we got to get out there. Krishna will help, even if you don't know what you're doing. Even if you think, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I don't have a clue how to go about this. That's okay. Your qualification for doing Sankirtan is if you're chanting 16 rounds and you're following the four aggregative principles and you're just willing to get out there and to do it, you know, put the effort in, the work in, that's like a big qualification. I think if you just have that under your belt, Krishna's going to help you. Just go out. Just you'll figure it out as you you'll figure it out as you go. Krishna will reveal to you how to go about it. So often we're just doing that. Yeah? And I think there's so many stories like that. Well, just the other day we went to L.A. Trade Tech, which is a 2-year college, kind of downtown Los Angeles. And this is another point that, you know, so often, you know, what's keeping us from engaging in devotional service is just our mind. You know, we get some idea in our head that, I can't go to this place. That's out of it. That place is out of it. Or I can't do this because, well, that's, you know, I can't do that. That's too hard. Nonsense. It's just your mind. It's literally just your mind. It's just like a thought. I mean, I've had so many, like, proofs of that. Well, just the other day was a great example. That LA Trade Tech is a school I think I've been to twice in 15 years of doing the schools. You know, we started doing the schools right after 9/11. And I just kind of thought, that school's not worth doing. And there's about a half a dozen schools I've had in that category. I thought, that school's not worth doing. Forget about it. But in the last couple of weeks, we've been to each one of those, and it's been like a whopping success. You know, we got to LA Trade Tech. I mean, I've had Jai Kush, I have to give him credit, because he's been inspiration behind it. I've just been keeping my mouth shut. And I tell him the schools that, you know, haven't been done. He says, let's go there. I said, okay, you want to try that one? Okay. And we go there, and he said, where do you want the table? He said, I don't know. He said, okay, let's go. I just picked the middle of the campus where the most people are walking by, and we just plunked it down there. And even before he came with the books, when I went and plunked the table down there, the security guard drove by in a golf cart. He was one of the security guards. He was a policeman. And he looked at me and said, I was setting up the table. He said, you got permission? I said, yeah, I think so. You know? He says, oh, you got to have permission. I said, okay, well, where do you get permission? He said, anyway, I can't remember. Oh, yeah, so I went wandering off to look for some police person to find the building. Because I was there 6 months or a year ago, and I remember there was some building I had to go to. Anyway, fortunately, I ran into like a young guy who was dressed like a policeman, some sort of cadet, and he sent me to the sheriff's office. And when I got to the sheriff's office, they told me, no, you don't have any permission. Just go in the free speech area. And he gave me a map to show me where the free speech area was. Now, where we were, of course, was not in the free speech area, but I figured, you know, I could just play dumb. And so anyway, we just set up there. And later on the day, the policeman came around and he said, and I showed him the map and everything. And he just let us do it somehow, you know. And that happens so often, you know, that just Krishna just covers the people over, or they just make an exception for you. Anyway, it was an amazing day. It was an amazing day. This is a school that I wouldn't even bother to go to ordinarily. And pretty much from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock, we had just like a constant flow of people coming up to the table, hardly even bothering to try to stop anybody. They're just walking right up. And, you know, and they were really interested. I mean, these people were going, thank you, it's so great you guys are out here. And, you know, and there was one fella, you know, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. So Savas showed those pictures last night of us, at the, you know, the different devotees at the table. Well, I mean, like a person is worth 1,000 pictures. I don't know if everybody ran into him yet or not, but there was this one fellow we met there, Fernando. He was here yesterday and the day before. He got a book. I can't remember how he got a Bhagavad Gita, I think from a friend or something like that. Anyway, at one point in the afternoon, he came marching towards the table there with this from about like 100 feet away. He had this big smile on his face, you know. Like, wow, you guys are here like that. He comes right at the table. He's read Bhagavad Gita four times since he got it, you know. And we gave him a whole box of Bhagavad Gita just to distribute to his, you know, friends and everybody else, his teachers or whatever. So he's really excited about Krishna consciousness. And just to give you an idea how excited he is, he said, and he told us there at the time, he said, "Oh yeah, this is great. I've read it four times." He said, "And so I memorized the first verse," in which I thought he was going to come up and say, "Well, how's it go? Samaveda Yasuvat, how's it go? Dharmic Chetra." No. He says, "I memorized the first verse," and then I said, "Okay, well, let's hear it." I said to him, he says, "Okay. Om Aginata Miranda Shaj Ananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena." And he kept going. He went all through that whole, you know, what's on the first page there. He did the whole thing. He rattled off about 3 or 4 minutes worth of Sanskrit there, you know, nicely pronounced and everything. I thought, and he did it for Savas last night too. I introduced him. So, you know, this is what's happening. These people are out there. I mean, it's not like everybody's in that category. That guy's special. He's happy. He's like, he's found what he's looking for. You know, pilgrim, his search has ended kind of thing. He's really fired up. He came here, he's doing service, and he's already memorizing Sanskrit verses. So, but you know, not everybody's like that, but that's okay. It's like everybody's getting the benefit. As I mentioned in a previous class I gave, I think I got the idea from somebody else. It's a multiple life program. You know, we can't expect that everybody's going to be like Fernando, but everybody's getting benefit. You know, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there's those two verses, Manushanam Sahasrishu, out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor perfection. And then even when you get one who's perfect, then there's about, 16 verses later, Krishna says, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gyanavamam Papajate. After many births and deaths, one is actually in knowledge, surrender. So it's, you know, it can be a long process, but the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. We're starting these people off. You know, everybody's getting benefit. You know, I mean, as I said, not everybody's going to be a Fernando, but everybody who comes in contact with the devotees is making spiritual advancement, and it's saving them from, you know, giving them at least another opportunity to take birth as human beings in the next lifetime and continue from where they left off. So it's our duty to, you know, to get out there. It's really our duty to get out there and give these people a chance to engage in devotional service to whatever extent they're able to engage. You know, some of them might just be able to take a free book, and you know, that's great. And somebody's going to be able to take, like, if you were there last night, you saw there was a picture of that one girl. She had 14 books. You know, somebody's going to be able to take 14 books and, you know, be so excited and distribute them to all their friends for Christmas presents. And somebody's going to be able to be like Bhakta Fernando, who's already, you know, memorizing the Mangalacharana. So there's going to be all different levels of devotees we're going to meet out there. But that's okay. Our duty is get out there, give people a chance. Give people a chance to engage in devotional service. And as, you know, as Prabhupada said, it's the best thing we could do for them. It's the best thing we do for ourselves. Because on many occasions, Prabhupada said to be quickly, very quickly recognized by Krishna, preaching is the shortcut process. So it's the best thing we could do for these people, and it's the best thing we could do for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And let's see how we're doing for time here. Okay, it's a little bit more. So here we're hearing the story about Maharajayati, and how he joins the Krishna consciousness movement. This is basically where, you know, he's had it. He's had enough. And he's kind of understood the hard way. You know, say that some people can understand by hearing, and some people have to experience it. So he's experienced it, and he's realized now that it doesn't make, you know, it's not this prolonged material lustful activity is not the way to become happy. So he's basically decided to join the Krishna consciousness movement, and it's a good choice, and we should all make that choice. And the point I wanted to make here is that we have to understand that everybody's in a movement. We're all in a movement. What does it mean to be in a movement? You know, what does it mean to be in a movement? It means that you're choosing to, you accept certain ideas and a certain lifestyle. So, you know, we've made a conscious decision to be in the Krishna consciousness movement. At some point in our life, we decided, I'm going to join the Krishna conscious movement. And what that means is we accept certain ideas, and then as a result of accepting those ideas, we're behaving in a certain way. We're engaged in certain activities. But if you analyze it, everybody's in a movement. You know, I mean, they might not have made a conscious decision. Well, most people have not made a conscious decision to be, but they're part of a movement, in the sense that if outside our movement, the Krishna conscious movement, you're in the Maya consciousness movement, and there's certain activities they perform, and they're based on certain ideas, right? You know, there's certain basic fundamental ideas that underlying, the way people are behaving out there. Believe it or not, they really are, and so they're part of a movement, whether they realize it or not. You know, their movement is. The basic idea there is that eat, drink, and be merry, you know, which means eat, drink, and have sex life. And the reason why we see and engage in so many activities is because, well, if you want to eat and you want to drink, it costs money, so you got to work to make it. And in any event, so this is the point, that whether they realize it or not, they're engaged in a movement. So everybody has to decide, what movement do I want to be part of? What movement do I want to be part of? Do I want to be part of the movement that says, when you're born, that's the beginning, and when you die, that's the end, and so, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die? Or do I want to be part of a movement that says, we're eternal spiritual beings, and the real purpose of the human form of life is to revive our awareness of our eternal relationship with God, so that at the end of this lifetime, we can get out of the cycle of birth and death and go back to live with Krishna or God eternally in the spiritual world? See? Which movement do we want to be part of? There's actually two movements. There's the Krishna consciousness movement and the Maya consciousness movement. Well, let's look at the Maya consciousness movement. What do they got? You know, what kind of evidence do they got that they're right? That, you know, when you're born, it's the beginning, and when you die, it's the end. That life is just comes about at a mature stage of biochemical development. They don't got any evidence. You know, Prabhupada was, on more than one occasion, Prabhupada would bring up this point of... The story that when Swarup Damodar, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, was at some sort of a seminar, and I believe it was just down here in UCI, and the professor was making the point that life comes from chemicals, and he challenged him, you know, on Prabhupada's instigation, you know, and he went one day and he challenged him. He said, okay, so if I give you the chemicals, can you produce life? You know, I mean, I just yesterday I heard Papa say this in a lecture he was giving in 1977 in Mayapur, March 1977. And I know that's not the only occasion. So on Prabhupada's instigation, Bhakti Swarup Damodar challenged him, if I give you the chemicals, can you produce life? And the man, according to Prabhupada, said, no, we can't. I can't say we can do that. You see? So they can't come up with the goods. They can't, given the chemicals, they can't produce life. Okay? Okay, so but is there any empiric evidence that supports our worldview that, you know, okay, that life is irreducible, that, you know, consciousness is going from one body to another? Like it says, like Krishna says in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. You know, yeah, there is. There's kids who remember their past lives. It's been studied by, you know, people who are scientists with credentials. They may not be exactly considered mainstream. It's not certainly not considered mainstream science, but these people were scientists with credentials, and they studied this phenomenon. Has been studied since 1961. So there's no empiric evidence that supports the idea that life comes from chemicals. They can't. You give them the chemicals, they can't produce life. There is empiric evidence that supports the idea that you know, consciousness is irreducible and continues on from one life to the other. So which movement do you want to be part of? I'll be part of the movement that says that you know, that's supported by the empiric evidence. I mean, if you want to be like, you know, they want to say, you have to be practical, you have to be scientific. This is, for me, is being scientific. This is the more intelligent choice. This is the more rational choice, to be part of the Krishna conscious movement. And on top of that, if you try to engage in devotional service sincerely, you experience it for yourself. Like, you know, I had to prepare for this class, so before I prepare for a class, I try to be careful not to overeat, which is a good idea in general. And even this morning, you know, I came before the deities, I felt experienced a taste for chanting. So it works. The process works, you know. It's not just like an intellectual thing that, you know, kind of logically figure out this is the best choice. I mean, if you actually surrender and sincerely engage yourself in the process, you actually can experience how it works. You get a taste for chanting. You get realizations. You feel Krishna reciprocating with you, you know, when you're engaging in devotional service. So That's basically it. That last part. Yeah. The real class was the first part where I was just talking about the importance of preaching. Because, you know, we're in the marathon now, and that's the thing I really wanted to emphasize. That, don't mental out. Don't be psyched out. Just if you're, as I said, if you're chanting 16 rounds, if you're following the four negative principles, especially you're coming to the program, you're more than qualified to go out and do Sankirtan. And if you feel like, but I don't know what I'm doing, that's okay. You're in the same boat as the rest of us. A lot of the time, even after 40-something years of doing this service, sometimes you just go out there and, you're in situations where you just feel like, well, what do we do? I have no idea what to do here. Krishna helps. It's amazing. It's like, you'll see Krishna will just kind of, make some arrange, cover somebody over so that you get the opportunity, or he'll send the people that, that you really were hoping to meet, and it just all works out somehow. So that's, that's been our experience over the last few weeks. I mentioned we went to, aside from this LA Trade Tech, there's another few colleges that we were just intentionally avoiding because we thought that these colleges are useless. Southwest College, Antelope Valley College, Rancho Santiago. In the last few weeks, we've gone to all of them, and each one was better than the other. So, as I said, a lot of the time it's just our mind, and we shouldn't, you have to be aware of that, and just don't listen to it. when your mind's telling you, this place, don't go to this place, it's out of it. I can't do this. It's for whatever reason. Just don't listen to it. Just do it. DJI, we have this college here, West LA College. And everybody was thinking, oh, this college, forget about it. That's useless. DJI went there. He plunked down his book table and he did 20 Bhagavad Gitas and over $200 in like an hour and a half. You see, so the field is ripe. There's, plenty of opportunity out there, and there's plenty of people that are just waiting to come in contact with the devotees and get the books and have the opportunity to engage in devotional service. Anyway, so I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Archita Babu, yeah.
You yourself admitted that there's been a change in strategy. The first time around when you went to these colleges, you were using the chase and stop method. That's probably what the big thing that's changed. Now you're having the book table approach. So the book table approach is probably more appropriate for most, if not all, of these colleges. That's what you're proving. And you're also making us want to have Jay Kush clones. You have any brothers? Or in other words, if every one of us could go out with a Jay Kush, we would probably do pretty well.
Yeah. He's doing great. Krishna's really reciprocating with his surrender and sincerity. No doubt about that. Ravindranath Prabhu?
Yeah, you mentioned about devotees formally taking vanaprastha or sannyas, and how the main thing is to engage in devotional service. But what about devotees that are producing children in their 50s?
Doesn't seem to be recommended. He's saying here that by 50 you should be getting out, so it doesn't seem to be recommended. There's the expression, there's the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. So I think the spirit of the law, that's what I was trying to focus on, that the really important thing is somehow or another try to be, as Prabhupada said here, accept unalloyed engagement in the service of the Lord. If you have to choose between a situation where, I could be engaged, I have to be in Grihastha Ashram, but I'll be engaged in unalloyed, I'll accept unalloyed engagement in devotional service. And another choice would be, I can't be engaged in unalloyed, accept unalloyed engagement in devotional service, but I could be in either the Vanaprastha or Sannyasa Ashram. The first one is more important. Better to be, of course, if you have both, it's better, if you could be engaged in unalloyed devotional service and be in the Vanaprastha, formally in the Vanaprastha, the Sannyasa Ashram, congratulations, that's ideal. But, at least if for some reason that's a problem, or you're not able to do it for some reason, whatever reason, the really important thing here is to be engaged in this unalloyed and, you know, accept unalloyed devotional service. Prabhupada actually, he quotes a verse here. Oh, no, it's not mentioned in this purport, but it's shown elsewhere. But he refers to a purport in the seventh canto. But anyway, that's the idea there. That's the idea. So producing children after 50, not a good idea. You know, especially when you consider it saying here by, I think it says here in the purport by 50, I'm thinking of another purport, by 50 years old, at the end of the 50th year and go to the Vana, you're supposed to be retiring, so it's not a good idea, but at least if somebody's in a situation like that, you know, rather than be totally discouraged, try to encourage them to be more engaged in devotional service.
Yeah, I just know that Prabhupada mentions in a couple lectures, he mentioned the different varnas. He said for the sudras, there is only one ashram, grihastha ashram. Vaishyas, Vaishyas is brahmachari, grihasthas, and then kshatriyas have three ashrams, you know, and then the brahmanas have all four ashrams like that. So I was thinking maybe that has some play into that. I understand it.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, that's it. I've heard that too. But, you know, it doesn't seem like to me that anything is getting followed. No, I don't want to say anything, but there's a lot of things that aren't getting followed so exactly. And I think it's important to try to understand the underlying principle and try to, you know, move along those lines, the spirit of the law rather than the letter of the law, just like there's an ideal standard and a minimum requirement kind of thing. Like you hear the expression, always remember Krishna, never forget him, or chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. That's an ideal standard. And, you know, we know it's there, and we acknowledge it. Yeah, that's what we want to do, but we're not always able to do that. But then there's the minimum requirement. So and even like this, even in this ashram discussion, okay, ideally everybody should take vanaprasth and sannyas. But, okay, is it going to happen, practically speaking? I don't know. It doesn't seem to be what's happening. It's not what I see happening throughout ISKCON and among the inner ranks of devotees, what to speak of our congregation. But, okay, I'm not saying that's good, but what's really important is to focus on, why one is meant to take sannyas. Prabhupada says here, sannyas means accepting unalloyed engagement in the service of the Lord. So that's the thing that should be emphasized, that, you know, grihastha couples should, if nothing else, if they're not able to separate and live separately after the age of 50, okay, but at least concentrate and put energy into trying to be more and more engaged in service to the Lord. Just like I'll give you one other example, this point here. Prabhupada refers to this purport, actually. It says here, this is from the seventh canto, it says, in our Krishna conscious movement, we therefore invite all the elderly persons of the world to come to Vrindavan and stay there in retired life, making advancement in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So, okay, in that sentence there, what's more important? That you go to Vrindavan? You know, you physically go to Vrindavan? He is saying that. I mean, I can't say that, well, that's not at all important. That doesn't make any difference. No, Prabhupada is saying that. But the purpose of going to Vrindavan is so that what? So that you make advancement in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. See? So if you could do both, wonderful. If you can go to Vrindavan, and then you're following it exactly. And to, you know, focus on making advancement in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, you've done exactly what's being said here. But if for some reason or other you can't go to Vrindavan, what's left is, and the important thing is to try to make advancement in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So it's the same thing with the ashrams, you know. If you can't, like, externally change, okay, well, that's too bad, but get the essence of it. The essence of it is to, you know, as Prabhupada says here, sannyas means accepting unalloyed engagement in the service of the Lord. So that's, you know, what we should try to do. Focus on the underlying principle or the essence of the whole thing, and at least, you know, try to cultivate that, if not the whole thing. Yeah, Archie, if you want to.
That was never, for the most part, actually in Varna and Ashram to start with. You know, if you haven't really, really cultivated each of those ashrams and varnas, then how do you expect at the end of life you're going to fit neatly into one category or other? But even in the lives of great devotees, like we see Nanda Maharaj, he produced Krishna at a very late stage of his life. It's mentioned in the 10th canto. Nanda Maharaj was elderly. He wasn't like a young 25-year-old when he had Krishna. So these things happen. And certainly he never became a vanaprastha or a sannyasi from his position. So again, you're really stressing the important thing. The important thing is to, following the mood of the founder Acharya ISKCON, preach Krishna consciousness. Keep yourself in the camp of the solution. Don't become a problem again. And help others to come to this side. And if you do that, Prabhupada is happy. Prabhupada, so many instances where Prabhupada discussed with householders, where he said, you know, for a householder who's living at home with a beautiful wife and following the principles, you're better than a sannyasi. You know, there are not many sannyasis who can live under the same roof with a beautiful woman and not fall down. So Prabhupada emphasized that also. That if you're a householder and you're following the principles strictly, then you're better than a sannyasi because you have the fire right there and you're not getting burned. Mm. So, you know, we don't really have to push anybody this way or that way. We really need to just concentrate on ourselves being Krishna conscious and helping others to become Krishna conscious.
Okay. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.